Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Tara, apologies. I have to leave halfway through, so I'll just jump off
Yeah,
then.
no problem. Thanks for joining at all. I was trying to read Zach's note on the channel about how what we're asking for is not possible. I'm trying to decide if that impacts what we do today. Really. I don't think so, because like, was it possible? Was not.
I think we should still outline what we would like.
Okay.
And then we can determine how much of what we want is feasible, maybe. Because we
Yeah, I'm
still,
curious.
even if a lot of what we want is not feasible, we still have the challenge that we were trying to address with inconsistency. And so, at the very least, we want to address that in a meaningful way.
Think that makes sense.
I wasn't entirely sure that what we were asking for was what he was describing, but maybe I'm not getting, either I'm not understanding what he's posted or I'm getting confused about what it was we wanted.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe if we all look at this together, we'll be able to figure this out.
Is the
So
would-be behaving for other people? I'm unable to get to our meetings page.
Oh.
And maybe it's just my browse. Okay.
That's been fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully it's okay. Okay. Sorry, give me one more
If it
second.
likes that.
All right. Sorry for all the frantic background clicking as I try and close things. Okay. So today we're continuing our discussion that we started on Wednesday, about bringing acquisitions behavior in line with folio defaults. For those who are joining us a little bit later, we had some late breaking news this morning about whether or not that's possible. So I think we're going to try and take a look at that together and try to understand what Zach said. Joe let us know that he wasn't able to join this meeting, but our goal for today was to create a short slide deck covering the behavior in question, create prompts and talking points for the SIGs, and then make sure that we know who's reaching out to which SIG. And I don't know if the fact that what we're asking for might not be possible changes the fact that it's desirable, either way. So I think that's still valid to do. But before we get into that, upcoming sessions. So our next session would be on April 1st, April Fools. So that is canceled due to calendar calming. We do not yet have a session planned for April 6th. If you have something in mind, let me know. The next thing on here is very exciting news. We have found co-conveners for this SIG, so it will not die with my departure, which is great. So Alyssa and Laura have volunteered to step up. We will coordinate that later in April. Yay! So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everyone here does as well. The last thing that I put on announcements and housekeeping is the Wolfcon presentation. Laura went ahead and submitted that. So we have a working session that has been submitted. I don't think we talked about doing any other sessions, so I think we're good as far as Wolfcon is concerned.
I had a quick just temperature check about something else that I might propose. Since Tom and I are ostensibly working on moving forward with item state, I was thinking of doing like a 25-minute item state where we are now. This would force me and Tom to go gather input from the community before that and use the Wolfcon session as a sort of making sure everybody knows what the current functionality is, what the challenges are, and sort of determining what direction we want to go. Does that sound like something that people would be interested in going to at Wolfcon, or does that sound like something that we should just do virtually? And maybe just, Slack. Yes, sorry. We've moved to Teams. Slack me or reach out to me in some way if you think that's a good idea, you would go, or if you think that's a terrible idea, no, don't waste my time at a conference with item state.
I'm going to predict you get zero of the second option. Like people directly messaging you to say, that's a waste of time. I'm going to go ahead and assume, oh my God, Zach's here. We're safe. Okay.
That's a terrifying thing to enter a meeting to.
We were trying to figure out if we understood what you were saying and what we had asked for. And then I was like, oh my gosh, you're here. Perfect. But Laura, I'm sure you're not going to get any detractors from your Wolfcon session for sure. So, okay. Any other announcements, housekeeping before we keep going? Okay, great. So the main thing that we were hoping to talk about today is the discussion we started last week. Last week when we were talking, hopefully I actually put notes on here. What we agreed on for personalized defaults was that URLs that you paste into the URL bar should always be obeyed no matter what your personal defaults are. Hard refresh should always reset the filters. You shouldn't have to log out and in again. Some degree of persistence within a session may be desirable across apps, and that's part of why we need to reach out to the different SIGs so that we understand when it's helpful and when it's not helpful within a session. Any defaults that we ask for that are retained between sessions should be set user by user rather than by the entire tenant. And then defaults should be set within the app rather than in settings. So we talked about a few different ways that that could look, but ultimately it sounded like people agreed that having a whole mirror interface in settings was not a good idea. Is there anything else relevant that we decided that I missed? As part of that, we realized that we needed to understand the behavior from the perspective of all of the SIGs, because we're talking about changing things across Folio. So one of the things we need to do is plan out who's taking these issues to each SIGs and each of the SIGs and what they are going to say and how they are going to explain this problem, which was hard in the first place for us to understand. So we can work on that here. But the first question is, are we asking for something impossible in the first place? And that I think is why I'm so glad that Zach is here, because I wasn't sure I understood what you posted on Slack.
Sure. So, do you want to talk through that example a little bit? And maybe it'll explain why things get dicey in terms of how data in a URL is mixing with data that's in storage and causing those confusing results. So, the example that I gave is sort of messy, right, in terms of stepping through a bunch of tabs. But what essentially happens is you do a search in tab A, and that the filters that you add values to get copied into the URL, and they get copied into storage. And then you open tab B and you do another search, and those get copied into the URL for B, and then they overwrite what's in storage for tab A. You go back to tab A, you do another search. It's going to update URL, it's going to update what's in storage. And now, if you look at tab B and you copy that URL, the URL is now out of sync with what's in storage, right? Because you've been going back and forth between A and B. So now if you copy B, which is out of sync, and open C, you don't actually get what's in tab B. You get a merge of the URL values from B and the local storage, which is the same as the URL storage in A. And so when those two things merge, now there's just a much smaller set because instead of it being this, it's this. And so you only get the intersection. And so that's what causes the glitch there. There's not a right answer in terms of how any of this persistence should work. It's just that there's various trade-offs in terms of what do we put into the URL, what do we put into session storage, which would get blown away and initialized every time you start a new session, what gets put into local storage, which persists across sessions. And so I think it's just making sure that as we think about the different use cases, we think about how storing those values in different places is going to affect logging in and logging out, is going to affect multiple tabs. And we can decide, what trade-offs are okay. Maybe it's okay that writing stuff to local storage causes, URLs to not be completely consistent because it's really important to us that people can store their preferred search values and have them persist across logins. A side effect is that, URLs might be inconsistent, but maybe we decide that side effect is worth it. Or we go the other way and say, a URL has to always return exactly the same results no matter who's logged in. And so bookmarkable URLs is the most important things. And if that means that logging in and then logging out and logging in on a new machine means you lost your preferences, well, that's an okay trade-off. It doesn't really matter which one of those we pick. We just have to understand how storing things in the URL, how storing things in session storage or local storage affects those things. So that's what I was trying to illustrate, I guess, with that example, is that data in the URL and data in local storage can get out of sync, and that can be tricky. Maybe if it would be helpful, I'm happy to talk about how different kinds of storage work and interact, because again, different tabs, I think it makes sense to folks that different tabs have different URLs. Local storage, though, is shared across multiple tabs. And so that's sort of the reason that we get into this problem is that all these tabs have different URLs, but they're all sharing the same local storage bucket on the back end. And so that's where that discrepancy comes in. So I'm happy to like talk through storage or just to listen to questions that folks have, or just to lurk in the background and pipe up when you start asking for something impossible. Whatever would be most helpful.
Sorry, I see Owen's hand. Let's start with that.
Thanks, Zach. And can you just outline what is it that we get from the local storage? What at the moment, why do we use local storage
All
and
right,
what
so
does it do for us?
yeah, so my the I think the big feature that local storage adds here is the ability for a filter to persist across sessions. So if you sign in and you do a search and add some filters, and then you sign out and then you sign back in the same browser on the same machine, the search from your first session will persist to your second session, right? So the local storage persists across logouts. It's permanent. The thing to know about local storage is that it's permanent in your browser, right? So if you were to log in on your desktop and do a search and log out, and then log in on your laptop, those two sessions are not really connected because local storage is on your browser. So
And is it persistent like across browser sessions, or does the browser clear that if you close the browser down?
it does not clear it if you close the browser down. It is
Okay, so
persistent. It's completely persistent.
yeah, okay.
It's there until it's cleared.
And this might not be a question for you, Zach, I don't know, but like, do we know, like, is that used like universally across apps in Folio? Is it widely like that
No, so
because it
it's not at all, and that's why I originally thought that its implementation was a bug. I believe there was a very early requirement, like think 2017, 18, 19, to have some sessions, to have some of these searches be sticky across sessions.
So,
I'd have to
yeah,
dig around in Jira to try to find it.
I think that's where we started this, right? Because orders does do that, right?
Yes,
That's
exactly.
okay. So that and that's, I think that's where this discussion started last week.
Right.
Joe Reimers
Yes.
came Reimers, sorry, came along and talked about that. And so this, yeah, I think what we were looking for is a way forward that has consistent behavior or the option of consistent behavior across apps.
Right.
And definitely I think that the idea of having persistence, like that we talked about the possibility of having the user choose whether that behavior was on or off. But I get that obviously as soon as you say, well, that can be on or off, then you get the problem with the URLs. Would it be, this may be being a bit too deep right now, I don't know. But the other thing that occurs to me is like if we want shareable URLs, I mean, would it be possible to have URLs that shared with a parameter that said don't apply, like could you actually decide, okay, you can't just rely on a URL being copy and pasted, but you can have a shareable URL function that would always produce a persistent URL of some kind.
So the last example that I gave sort of gets at why we have this problem where like the current problem with with URLs leading to inconsistent results is because URLs are unique per tab, but local storage is shared across tabs. And so what happens is when the application loads, it says, all right, let me look at all the values that I have in my URL. Okay, in my URL, I have, a value for color and shape. And in local storage, I have a value for color and size. Well, let me take the color and shape from the URL because the URL is definitive. And I'm going to throw away the color value that I have in storage, but I'll add the one for size. And so it sort of merges them together. The things in the URL win, but then the things that are in local storage also filter up. And then now you have an intersection that doesn't have any results. And so that's how we get to that sort of buggy behavior. And so there's a couple of ways that you could work around that. One is having URLs that include empty values, right? Like right now, if you look at orders, there's a huge number of facets, right? There's like 30 or something like that. But if you do a search or you apply a filter, you get a URL that only has a key for the filters that you're applying, right? Like it'll show you just the receipt status or but so if you look at that URL, there's nothing about payment status, there's nothing about prefix, there's nothing about suffix, there's nothing about vendor, right? It doesn't include the empty values. And so that's what allows a different tab that does have a value for prefix, suffix, vendor. When that gets lodged in storage and then you mix a URL from a different tab, that's what causes that sort of pollution of the results. And so one option would be for URLs to always include empty values. But that could lead to really long URLs. But it would solve the problem. Another is something like you were saying, which is add a special value to the URL, which is something like only use the filter values from my URL. Please ignore local storage equals true. some kind of flag that basically says, hey, don't load filters from anywhere else, only load the filters from this URL. But then how do you get that flag into the URL? Like, because if you're just going to send this to a colleague, you're going to copy it out of your bar and paste it and send it to your colleague in an email or in a Slack chat or something like that. So how do you get that value into the URL? It would work, but it would be kind of messy potentially. So my inclination would be figure out how to include empty filters in the URL. But with something like orders, where there are so many facets, I don't know how plausible that is. Once you hit probably about 30 values, we start potentially running out of value or running out of space in the URL because it can only be, I think, 4,000 characters.
Yeah, I think this is my last comment. Thanks, Zach, again, and then I'll stop. Which is one is just like in terms of our discussion right now, and taking it to the SIGs. I think that understanding the desired behaviors from the SIGs is a good starting point still. Like, it seems to me that Zach is outlining, like, if we were to currently do something here, then there would be some significant challenges with behavior, wanting it both ways. And I get that. It doesn't sound like those are necessarily completely insurmountable in terms of, like, if both behaviors are sometimes desirable, then there might be ways of working with that. But it seems to me that unless we understand from the SIGs what kind of behaviors they actually see as desirable, and keep that up, obviously bring ourselves up to date on that, because it does seem like some of these decisions were made a long time ago, perhaps with particular use cases in mind that either never got followed up or have been forgotten about or just are no longer relevant.
So from my point of view, a lot of the use cases are legitimate. Like, I can totally understand not if you have If you work in orders and there's some like complicated collection of filters that you need to apply to your work, it's totally understandable why you would want those to persist. That makes sense to me. And so I'm not pushing back against that as a sort of use case requirement. Where I think it gets sticky is, like I described, with this mixing of values from the URL and values from storage lead to edge cases that I think make the can sort of like cause problems with
And
or just cause inconsistencies. And so what's the best way to manage those inconsistencies?
And
And
we
we
did
probably didn't think
discuss.
about those at the time that that requirement came out. It was just like, oh, this gives us a way to persist this stuff. This is great. Let's move on. And it's like, you know what? We've only defined 80% of the problem. And there's this other 20% that we didn't think about at the time. And now we're running into this other 20% and realizing, oh, that actually caused some side effects that weren't great. Do we care about those side effects?
And we did also just, I can't remember who suggested it now, but there was also a suggestion that one approach or an approach we might want to look at was having some signal to the user that a set of, like, there were interacting filters going on here. Like, so they, not necessarily changing the behavior, but just alerting the user to the fact that that things like, your current URL filters and your local storage filters are different, or these, the being able to see what the totality of the filters being applied at any one time was. So at least the user knows what's going on, even if that leads to different behavior in different cases, at least it's explicable. I wanted to say one kind of not one other thing, which is kind of not pertinent directly to the discussion, but it does also occur to me that in orders specifically, and in other modules that apply acquisition units, that actually there's two things here. There's one that the results should always be the same, and that's not possible to guarantee once acquisition units are in play, because they can block certain users from seeing results. So result sets not being the same is different, and is with acquisition units unachievable deliberately, right? That deliberately blocks you viewing particular things
So you're talking about like
versus,
if people with different permissions might see different things because of acquisition units.
well, people would, I mean, if we treat acquisition units as a kind of permission, this isn't the, so
Yes, that's
permission to
understandable.
view a particular order. So you will not get the same results, just to be clear, even if you achieve the same filters, or at least, no, you cannot guarantee the same results even if you can guarantee the same filters. So we are working in a world where if you share a URL with somebody else in orders or in invoices or in finance, and from Trillium onwards in agreements and licenses, I think there are some other set implement access units as well, organizations. I can't remember the full list, but you won't be able to guarantee you're seeing the same result of, just because you share a URL doesn't mean you'll get the same result list, which, is not necessarily pertinent to exactly what we're discussing here, but we should be clear when we talk about same result set versus same filters applied.
Sure. There's a second point that I think you wanted to make when I interrupted to seek clarification. I'm sorry. Do you remember what that was?
No, I think that was it. And I've
Okay.
talked enough, so.
I think that again, I feel like my perspective is maybe not a standard library user's perspective, but like the first thing I always check is like, is it an acquisitions unit problem? So I feel like that's part of the like known issues and not necessarily bad for what we're talking about. But one of the questions I had was like, if you have this scenario where you have incompatible filters from the URL and from storage, is there no indication on the facets themselves, like these little X's that we see?
So they do, and actually, looking more closely at my example from like A to B to A to C, the when you paste into C, you're expecting to get B all over again, and what you get is this intersection of A and B, and so the URL actually updates. You copy the URL from B, you paste it into C, but then when that page loads, it grabs the URL filters, it grabs the local storage filters, it sees that they're that that's changed, and so it does update the URL, it does update the side navigation or the filters, as you said, which is good. But if you were expecting, like, I copied the URL, I opened it in another tab, I saw something completely different, to me that's not the expected behavior, right? Like if I go to the URL for tab B and I copy it into tab C, I expect to see the same thing, and I didn't. But again, like that's my expectation as a developer. It might not be the expectation of an end user. And I might just be harping on an inconsistency that bugs me because I'm a little bit OCD, and that's part of what makes me good as a developer. But that I'm looking for consistency that isn't necessarily important, right?
I think
So
you're underestimating the number of OCD librarians on this call alone.
Well, I'm just my point is merely like having a system that's completely perfect isn't necessarily the best system, right? But that's all. Like, not every inconsistency needs to be resolved. This is one I think the user experience would be better, but I'm not an end user here. And so it's probably more important to hear from folks who use orders every day to find out, is this a problem for you? As someone who uses lots of different applications, and just because I'm working on the framework that goes underneath all these applications, right? And so I'm always trying to make sure my buttons look the same in every place and my filters operate the same in every place because I'm responsible for the things that get shared. And so I want those shared things to be performant and consistent. If other people's use of Folio is, I mostly just work inside users, I mostly just work inside orders, I mostly just work inside inventory or the collection of things that are related to inventory or the collection of things that is related to acquisitions. Maybe as long as those applications behave consistently, that's okay. Even if, some group of applications is inconsistent with another's. I can just tell you that right now they're not. And so I see that as a rough edge. But, maybe it's not a rough edge that bothers other people because they tend to work in a particular domain. I can just explain why that edge is there and what kind of problems I potentially see, and help hopefully, help folks like this group make informed decisions about, do we want to file this edge off or not, or do we want to leave it present because it's helpful for the people in acquisitions to have this kind of persistence. I can just tell you what's going to happen. I can't tell you if it's the right decision or not.
Laura, go ahead.
I have a whole bunch of thoughts swirling around in my head, so I'll try to keep track of them. I think you are not the only mildly OCD person. And that is also what makes librarians often good at what we do. Earlier, I was thinking I can see myself wanting one type of behavior for myself as a user who understands what's going on, and another type of behavior for a lot of other people using Folio who I don't expect to have the same sort of overarching perspective of it, which I recognize is impossible. So first of all, I'm seeing, okay, there are things that I want it to do for me, but I'm recognizing that if it can do that for me, it's going to screw everybody else up. And so I think, first of all, it's impossible to assume that we won't have institutions where people are working across multiple domains. And it's impossible for us to predict which domains somebody might work across because every library is organized differently and things happen and you have to do something else. And also, I often am going into an app I'm not very familiar with to try to troubleshoot. And then it's even harder for me because I don't know what to expect. So I feel like having share, I feel like I want us to go around and find out how important is the shared URL. Because my assumption, and I could be wrong, but I think that having a URL that you can, something you copy and paste, you send it to somebody else, and they can see that exact thing is really, really important. And even more so, I think when you think you have that and you don't, it really, really confuses and frustrates people. And when people are confused and frustrated, they are unhappy and ineffective staff. So I feel like to me, if my, I'd like to validate that my assumption is correct, but if it is, I feel like preserving that ability to share URLs should be the starting point. And then figuring out, okay, what are there improvements we can make to the ability to save filters that don't interfere with that? And if so, what are those?
I think that's a great way to frame it personally. Yeah, everything you've said really resonates.
And the behavior we had for a while when the default for inventory was to not display staff suppressed is a great example of this, that people would search for for a barcode and they knew the item record existed because somebody had reported a problem with it, but because that filter was on, they couldn't see it and people were livid.
I was also not personally a fan of that behavior. But, the scenario that I interact with Folio, like with a library user most often, is like there's a problem. A library has sent me a URL, and I need to be able to see exactly what they're seeing in order to fix the problem. So, again, I don't know. Charlotte was ahead of the game there. I don't know that that is like every SIG's top desire, although it sounds like you are on the same team as me, Laura. Okay, so I don't know. What's the next best thing to do? It sounds like we still need to understand what the SIGs want, and we need to create prompts and talking points so that we're all going to the SIGs with the same message. But now I'm confused about what that message is, so I don't know how to do this.
I feel like my first question is, how often do you share URLs? How important is it that you be able to copy what's in your address bar and paste that into a message to somebody and have that resolve? Not the only question, but I'm
I think related to that question, it's how often do you share URLs for a search? I feel like I share URLs for individual records, and sometimes how I got there is irrelevant. It might be in the URL, but like I don't care. I just need somebody to look at this inventory record, this PO, this item record, whatever it is.
And would that mean that a functionality like click here for persistent URL would be what we were looking for. I mean, as one option.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say, you made an important distinction there between a list of filters and a link to a specific ID. And so the issues that I've been highlighting are when filters are present, not when a particular ID is present.
Yeah, I mean, it's just if I, and I think this is true, right? Like if I do a filter and I find a record from the filters, that history's all in the URL, but it doesn't stop anybody from being able to view that record. It just kind of makes the URL longer than it really needs to be because that's not like important. But that's kind of a separate issue, and it's not like
Because
stopping.
So, like, you
Right.
could
It's
chop
a
off everything from here and you would get a record. Okay.
Right, because you can imagine lots of different collections of filters would result in, 101.127 being visible. And so is it there because you searched for pending things and then clicked on it, or is it because you searched for, all of the USGS vendors records and searched for it, or because you looked for order types of one time and then searched for it? Any one of those different collections of filters would give you a different results list, and then the thing you're interested in, the details pane. And so if the thing that's interesting to you about this page is the details pane, the problem I'm describing isn't really a problem. If the thing that's interesting to you is the results pane, then all the problems I sort of described at the top of the hour are present, where you might have different results present, even though you think you got to a consistent URL. But in this case, the ID is not changing no matter how you got there, and so you'll always be able to get to the same details record.
But I don't know that we can assume that just because the UUIDs are appearing in the resulting URL that you're sending to someone else doesn't mean that the search itself was not the point of the URL.
Right.
Because, like,
Yeah,
if you
there's no
search
point.
for something that has only one result, you'll always have these UUIDs,
Yep.
right?
Yeah, you're right. You can't intuit what someone's desired behavior is, or what it is that they're trying to show here, right? If somebody sends you this record, are they showing you the item details, or are they showing you that, oh, look, all the other vendor codes were XYZ or something? Like, I don't know.
Or like if there's a change between when you sent the URL and then it's like, oh, and now there's a second result included in that.
And that's a fair point, right? I'm talking about, oh, we have to have URLs be consistently represented. If I do a search on Monday when, there's three open orders for vendor, and I send that URL to my colleague and they click on that bookmark on Wednesday when now there's 17 open URLs or open orders for a particular vendor, obviously they're going to see different results. The thing that I was sort of getting at was, if I send them a link, it's going to that has two facets in the filter. They have been using orders. Like, say I have facets A and B, and they have facets B and C. If I send them a link to a result set and they click on it, what they're going to get is A and B from my result set plus C from theirs, because my result has B in common with theirs. So my B from the URL is going to overwrite their B from local storage, and I'm going to get A plus B plus C. Which is not what I was trying to send them. I was trying to send them a search result of, the filter with A and B applied, not A, B, C. So that's the kind of inconsistency that I'm talking about, not where the data changes, but where when the data is the same URL does not show the same results. So,
Right. I see Charlotte wants to say something, and I will say
yeah.
something after Charlotte because I can't raise my hand.
Okay. Because it sounds like listening to this conversation that we want the URL to do something more or less impossible over time. So, especially the what you mentioned, Zach, with if I create the search on Friday and then my colleague has the day off and watch it on Tuesday, things can have completely changed. So what about that we simply rethink how to capture the search in the search and filter pane and capture the result in the second pane, the result list. And maybe so if I am to share something with a colleague, I decide what is it I want to share with my colleague. Is it this how this is set up in search and filters I want to, or
Yeah.
is it the result for my given Friday I want to share with my colleague? So maybe it's we need Kimi to do some UX mockups on how could we have this capture function. And then that is captured and then shared, because then it would be consistent. I
Yeah.
don't know the technical solution, but
Yeah. So again, I think that's a really good question, and you make a good point in that if the data behind something is changing, what's really happening when you share a URL? That sort of gets at how modlists works, right? Is that you actually share what modlists does is that you can a query and it gets a particular result set that it shares under an individual ID, and that's the only thing that happens with a modlists thing. And then if you want that list to get refreshed, you have to say, hey, go refresh this thing. That is one way of doing this kind of thing, and it can make canned searches super fast, because it if you have, 1,000 things in your result set, it has those 1,000 UUIDs and it can just retrieve them by ID. Retrieval by ID is always very fast because that's always an indexed field. But it's a very different way of having things operate than most of the UI operates right now. Again, I'm not saying this is good or bad, it's just different, but I'm glad you asked the question because it also sort of points out that the way that lists is managing that data is a little bit different. So I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of throwing bombs into this meeting right now and saying, well, here's a way that if we do it this way, it explodes. And here's a way if we do it that way, it explodes. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to say that any one of these is good or bad. They just have different side effects. And from my point of view, right now, orders is more of an outlier in terms of how its URLs function compared to many of the other UI applications. And I guess I should also say UI lists is a bit of an outlier in terms of how its result sets function compared to most other things. I think lists has sort of been presented as this is an app that is oriented toward reporting, and reporting is expensive computationally, and so we have to cache the results. And so I think of that as something that's a special case, but it's sort of known to be a special case. I hadn't thought of orders as something that was a special case, and so its behavior surprised me. And so again, to sort of get at what Laura, I think, identified early is what would be good default behavior for applications, and how can we add sort of customizability on top of that default behavior so that if you want to, load your preferred orders filters because, you need to apply these 17 things to do your job, what's a way to do that? And could we have the same functionality inside users, inside inventory, or as you said, do we want other applications to reflect lists? My inclination is that we probably don't want to do with most applications what lists does. But that's definitely not a developer question. That's a get that feedback from users and then figure out what they want. But based on how most applications are developed so far, I don't think that's the route we would end up going.
Kristen?
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point about how lists could be used for some of these things too. I mean, this could be a question that we ask people. My assumption has always been if you share a URL that has filters on it and somebody else goes and uses that search is going to have the most current data. And if you share it on a Friday and they come in on a Monday and things have changed, like that would be my expectation. So if somebody's like, we need to see how many, pending orders we still have, or we need to see how much money we, have left in this fund, like I wouldn't want to be like going there, like not have that be current. Like that would be contrary to what I would expect. So, it could be if you are trying to provide a point in time application, you've got the list app to do that. And maybe there are ways if you need to go in and check on things that are difficult to set up as a query because you're trying to provide a lot of filters or query, you know, that's more of a, that does sound more reporting to me than some of the operations where you always want to have the most current data that's out there.
Yeah.
I will just clarify my earlier point before I let Owen go, because I can't raise my hand, so I'm not cutting in line. Which was that, like, in this scenario here, so like if you were trying to send someone for some reason a list of every order that starts with these numbers and then add a wild card, in this current system, you would end up with a record in your URL. But on Monday, after one more is added, you would end up with a search URL that looks like this. So I'm just saying that we can't assume that, like, even if you're expecting to get different results, you can't assume that just because there was a record in the URL that the intention was to send you a record if and sent, like they were trying to send you a search, which is such a tiny point and not that important. Owen, sorry.
I think that's quite an interesting point, Tara. It isn't one that I'd considered. And yeah, it definitely suggests to me that having persistent URLs for searches and records clearly accessible in the UI that users can then use makes a lot of sense to me, I have to admit, like rather than just relying on them copying and pasting from the address bar, which feels like it's always going to be dicey. But now if I remember what I was going to say. So I think that, Tara, you said you weren't sure what we were asking the SIGs at this point. And I think that, like, this issue of, like, applying, like, having a set of filters that are applied by default or that persist between sessions and highlighting the behavior that we've talked about today and the you know, when that can go wrong or whether that is going wrong from their point of view when they either use sessions in multiple tabs or they have a shared URL, somebody sends them a URL of this type. It kind of feels like highlighting that behavior, because actually I think most applications don't do this, right? So we really are saying, actually, in orders, this is what happens. And in, you know, whatever other application, this is what happens. And just trying to get the different SIGs to say, well, you know, persistence would be good, but, you know, only if it works in this way, or for orders, you know, for the acquisition SIG to say, yes, but we, you know, we'd want to handle it in this way. So we understand. I think that at the moment, I think what Laura said maybe at the start was it, or that, you know, we should still try and understand. No, it wasn't Laura. I can't remember who said it. That their requirements at this point and almost not necessarily not worry about what's possible, but then have this discussion again once we kind of understand what are those things that they really would like to see. Because yes, some things will be impossible, but or at least, you know, it's not easy necessarily to have things work in two different ways simultaneously. But I think that it's like if we can take this session and boil it down to this is the behavior we currently see in, say, three different apps. And when you use them normally, as it were, when you use them in multiple tabs, when you use them to share URLs, like, and get their feedback on what's good and what's bad about those, then perhaps that would be a way of asking the question, I suppose, without necessarily kind of saying, you know, what is it you want, which is always difficult for people to answer directly like that.
Yeah, that's part of what I was trying to get at with my somewhat convoluted example. But, you know, maybe if I can try to distill that, I guess, in a little bit more. And so what I was trying to present was, here's what happens if you go through these steps. Is that behavior okay with you? Is sort of or does it bother you? Because it bothered me as a developer, and what I was trying to find out was, does this bother folks who use orders? And maybe the answer is no, because they get to, log out and log in and still have their filters. And, if no one has noticed this, except for a cranky developer, maybe it's no big deal. I think it came to my attention on Slack where there was somebody who was brand new to Folio and had sort of, inadvertently gone through the same steps that I did. And I was like, oh, wow, I see how that happened. I see how you got yourself into this situation. Here's what I think is happening. And so, is that just because, somebody new was sort of, drawing this huge big trail around things and stumbled on this inconsistency? Whereas, again, maybe folks who use these apps day to day don't move around so much. But as Laura said, we can't make any assumptions about what apps various people use or don't use. So again, it's I think what you just said and what Hera has been saying as far as let's come up with some examples and find out how people react to them might be a good way to pursue to figure out what question it is that we're trying to ask or what level of consistency we're trying to achieve. Because if we can present, three or four examples and say, when we do these things, we get this result. When we do those things, we get that result. Find out what people think about those different situations. And maybe that'll lead toward finding the common ground across SIGs about what we want desired behavior to be. Because if everybody says, oh, I like A, B, and C, and I hate D, E, and F, well, then it's really clear what we should do. But if you get, oh, I like A and B, well, I like B and C, well, A is wrong, then we know that there's more to discuss before we can pursue a particular solution.
I think there is also a desire in some cases to explore the possibility of having more persistent filters in other apps. And so I think this is an opportunity to find out is that something that's desired, but also at the same time be very clear, okay, these are side effects of persistent filters. If this is a deal breaker, then we know we can't do that. Or we know it would be a lot of work to do that. And I for inventory at least, it's almost always the case where one person wants A and B, somebody else wants C and D, somebody, I really think people want a mind reading app because I hear people say, well, I want it to do this when I'm doing this, and then when I'm doing this other thing, I want it to behave in this completely different way. But just surfacing that, reminding people we can have that a program can behave in one way. It can't change its mind when it knows you're working on something else. Or because I mean, in a way, that's to me what being able to have these filters is one way of saying, okay, when I'm working in this capacity, I only want to see these things. Well, okay, here's the cost of that.
Yeah, that's well put, I think. Here's the cost. That's a different way of I think of what I've been saying in terms of here's the trade-offs if we do that. It's you get to choose if that cost is acceptable to you or not. And I see Tara is mentioning in chat, did we talk about filter shortcuts rather than defaults? And I've been sort of thinking about something like that in the back of my head as well, in terms of, maybe when you apply when you get a URL, you read exactly what's present in the URL and you ignore local storage, but there's some option of, apply this filter shortcut to my current result set. And would that be a way of, allowing people to save filter collections and then apply them to result sets or, apply them to a brand new search to load different collections? That's definitely, I think, something that would be interesting to explore so that the shortcut is the thing that gets persisted, rather than any particular thing getting persisted to local storage. I also think it's worth thinking about whether local storage is the right place to do any of this persistence as opposed to backend storage in an API. Because again, like right now, maybe if you work at the same computer every day, you're not going to notice a difference between those two things. But anybody who might rotate across workstations or something like that, it could be advantageous to be able to log into any workstation and have your personal filters applied to the result sets. But I don't know how often that happens or not. And so it might be that I'm sort of inventing work there. Local storage to me is just a the potential for misunderstanding, I think, is very high because you can't really tell that you got that data only came from your browser on your computer, as opposed to that data came from the fact that Folio recognized you as you and would have loaded that same profile anywhere else. Probably for most use cases that you never notice that, and so you don't even know that it's happening until you get a new laptop and now all your filters are missing. local storage, I think, just has a lot of those sort of gotcha moments, and that's what has if you hear me sort of like pushing back against it, that's where that's coming from.
We're getting towards the end of the hour. So, Owen, and then I think I'm going to call it. And I think I know what we'll be talking about on April 6th as well.
Thanks, Sarah. I wanted to say, yeah, I agree with you and Zach on the filter shortcuts. I think it's a nice idea, and honestly makes more sense to me. But then I also see, like, for some users, that if that resulted for some users in them having to do that every time or very often they hit the screen, then that would be uncomfortable for them. So I definitely can see that as a potential issue. I also want, I think Zach's point about, though, I mean, we talked about this personalization, the fact that local storage is used at the moment for some aspects of this personalization. That includes, I think, the columns that are used in certain MCLs as well. It's definitely not great from, like, I think these are things, and I guess, again, this is something we could ask users, but my impression is that when we talk about things like persistent filters or filters that default filters that users want to see or which columns they want to see in the results, generally, it would be they want that to follow them. They don't really care which computer they're working on or which browser they're working in. Those are still rational choices. They've not set it up. They've not generally working like, oh, I use a Firefox session for this task because I've got one set of things set up and Chrome for another because I've got the other set up. They just want it to be consistent across what they do. And once they set it up, they don't really want to lose those settings, except explicitly, so I do think that since we now have some profile stuff starting to creep into Folio, it's that discussion is worth having as well.
I'm sure someone has a response to that. However, it is 12:58 where I am, and I have a meeting at 1. So I think I will say thank you for this great discussion today. We'll continue this on April 6th, and I'll post some notes and possibly some homework to the channel over the next couple of days. Okay?
Right. I'll try to post some
Awesome.
more clear examples as well in terms of like where inconsistencies can come from, because like I said, I know that example is kind of convoluted and folks had trouble following it. So I'll see if I can articulate that in a way that makes it easier to digest so that we can see what the trade-offs are.
I will definitely still need like the Sesame Street video version, but I would love to see your examples. All right, have a great rest of your Monday, everyone, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.